General Alexander A. Vandegrift, when plans suddenly change for the worst. In 1962, General Alexander A. Vandegrift, who commanded the 1st Marine Division during the Battle of Guadalcanal, was interviewed by writer-historian Robert A. Aspey. In one segment of the interview, Vandegrift discusses the planning and preparation for the beach landing scheduled to occur on 7 August 1942. The invasion, codenamed Watchtower, had several complications that threatened success. First, it was rushed. General Vandegrift had not received the warning order for the Guadalcanal landing until 26 June. He had been previously assured by U.S. Navy leadership that his division would not see combat before 1943. There was a serious deficit in solid intelligence about Guadalcanal and the enemy forces. Marine and Navy command relations were sketchy and proved to be problematic. And the Japanese had air superiority over Guadalcanal. In this clip, Vandegrift receives more bad news delivered only 2 weeks before the landing. The Navy's Joint Expeditionary Force commander, Rear Admiral Frank J. Fletcher, informs Vandegrift of constraints on the landing operation, specifically in regarding unloading supplies.
See, the first thing we did was we rendezvoused with Jack Fletcher's force, and it was quite a sight to see all those ships that we thought were still landing, to find to cover our landing.
Was that like a carrier balloon?
Yeah, it was a carrier balloon. And so, Fletcher sent a signal for Turner and I to operating force to come aboard his carrier for conference. And so we got off of Macaulay into the destroyer and proceeded to the area of the flagship, and it was the roughest darn sea that you have ever seen in your life. We couldn't come alongside. We got in a small boat, and we had a time with that. And Admiral McCain, being the senior one aboard our destroyer, he had the air South Pacific Air.
Yes, sir.
He had the privilege of being the first one to make it. And as the line swung out, he would grab it and you would roll with it back in to the ship. And just as he rolled into the ship, someone opened a chute, and he was deluged with milk.
With what, sir?
Milk. He was the maddest little animal I ever saw. But he took it very well. We finally all got aboard, and we had this conference, and the scheme was laid out. And at that time, Fletcher announced that he would have to leave. And I said, and Kelly Turner said too, that he would stay until after the landing was complete. I said that this is not a hit or miss show. And this is not the old days of calling away the landing force, but it has to have air cover, and we expect the carrier force to give it. He said he couldn't stay. I said that you should stay at least 3 days. I think I said 5 days. And he said he could not stay longer than the third day. And that was final.
Sir, was this Ron who at S Region?
No, it was out at sea.
Was this before you made the rehearsal?
Yeah, before we made the, I think it was before they made the rehearsal.
Well, that's right.
I'm quite sure it was.
Mm-hmm. Just playing out in the middle of the ocean?
Yeah, in the middle of the ocean, because they had some ship's gun firing at, in the rehearsal, don't you see?
No.
At the covering for it.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And besides, he wouldn't have brought his carriers in there anyway.
Yeah.
So then, he at first just wanted to shove off entirely.
He wanted to shove off right after the landing.
Mm-hmm.
And he damn near did, too.
Mm. This, you now have a question in your own mind after this conference. In other words, about his attitude.
Well, I did. Because I thought it was entirely wrong, and I still think so. He had fueled, or some of his vessels had fueled, I know, in the Fiji. And I couldn't, when we got word that he was leaving because he had to refuel, I couldn't see how they had to refuel in that short length of time.
The three-day restriction on unloading a division's worth of supplies was a severe problem. If enemy aircraft had succeeded in destroying the few supplies Marines and sailors hurriedly stacked on the beach, the campaign most likely would have failed. It is little wonder that a Marine historian wrote about the Guadalcanal operation. Seldom has an operation been under more disadvantageous circumstances. Yet the Marines of the 1st Marine Division, supported by Marine Air squadrons, held on, and eventually the tide was turned against the Japanese. It created a landmark success. Indeed, Guadalcanal was the turning point of the Pacific War. We must ask then, are Marines being trained today to be ready to fight and hold on without the full logistic support they are accustomed to? Furthermore, are considerations made for rapid revised planning when the original plan is significantly altered due to unforeseen circumstances? For additional reading on Vandegrift or the Guadalcanal Campaign, read Once a Marine by Robert Aspey or No Bended Knee by General Merrill B. Twining.